Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Chapter 8 this morning in Deuteronomy. We're going to read verses 1 through 4 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read silently. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verses 1 through 4. Please stand to your feet this morning in honor of God's word as we read the word of God together this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for a day you set aside, the Lord's day, that we can come and we can sing praises to thy name. We can fellowship. But Father, most important, we can hear the pastor get up, open the word of God, and preach the word of God to us. Help us to have hearts that are ready this morning. Help us to receive what the preacher says. God, if there's one in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, that today they would settle it before they leave. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, again, we will ask that you turn all your electronic devices to vibrate or to off, if you would, and give us that few moments of some peace and quiet there. And then, of course, I'm going to ask that you sit still and listen very carefully this morning. We're going to address this matter of Memorial Day and Memorial Day weekend in our church. We never let these days pass without recognizing those who've served their country in the military. It's a very important and precious thing to realize, ladies and gentlemen, that freedom is not free. And while you and I don't like the response to that. I said freedom is not free. That's right. See, we get used to it. We take it for granted. But it is a precious thing. And this country we were in this week, it's just always a blessing to see the difference in nations and to realize what a blessed country we have and the freedoms that we enjoy here and the things that we have. They are not given us because they are rights. They're given us because they are privileges, and others paid for that privilege. They're paying for it right now this morning while we sit here in church and enjoy the comforts of an air-conditioned building and the freedoms to go to church and get up and leave this morning and go out and have a bite of lunch with our families or go home to our meal and enjoy the liberties and freedoms of a day. And we have a day off tomorrow, many of us, from work, and enjoy that time. There are those who will not be able to do so. They'll sleep in a tent tonight. They'll be on a mountain somewhere. They'll be in a cold Arctic place or in the deserts or jungles. And they will put their life on the line for us so we'll have freedom. And Memorial Weekend is a time to remember that there are those who paid the ultimate price for freedom and did not come home to their families so you and I would enjoy the liberties of this nation. So you want the flag-waving churches, aren't you, preacher? That's right, that's right, that's right. And if that's a problem, you got the wrong church. I'm going to guarantee you that right now. We are Americans, as James said, this Brother James sang this morning. We're proud to be Americans. And very thankful for those privileges. If you served your country in the military, would you stand, please, for just a moment? We have men and women in this room who are very faithful to serve their nation. We have some who served in World War II. We have some who served in the Korean conflict. I don't know how you differ a conflict from a war, but it's the same thing. Some have served in the Vietnam era. I served during the Vietnam era myself. Then others in Desert Storm and other places and served their nation. And today you and I owe a debt to these dear people, these men and women standing here who were willing to put their lives on the line for us. God blessed them and blessed us, and we were able to come home and come back to our country and to our people. But these dear people gave of their lives to serve their nation. We thank you today. We thank you for the honor that we have to be able to go to church, to be able to read a Bible. Tomorrow we'll get to, if you wanted to, you can get in a car tomorrow and drive the other side of America. There won't be any roadblocks, there won't be any stoplights, there won't be anything to get in your way of people who are limiting your freedoms. And there, that came at a price. And you are willing to do your part. And for that, we are most thankful to you today. And we appreciate you. Let's give them a hand, please, if you would. In the Bible, God put in the Word of God a book that is written for this pure purpose of remembering. Deuteronomy. The word Deuteronomy comes from a Latin word. It means Deuteronomos. It means second law. God wrote this book of Deuteronomy, 34 chapters, to remind Israel to remember. That verse we read in the, as Brother Evans was reading the text this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 2, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." He said, I want you to remember that. Deuteronomy was given to Israel just as they were getting ready to go into the promised land. They had made their journey from Egypt's bondage, crossed through the Red Sea, gone to the wilderness, and right to the edge of the land God had promised them. God told them to send out some spies to go into the land and investigate it and then come back with the report, not to frighten the Israelites, but to show them it was a land flowing with milk and honey. The 12 spies came back, and 12 men spies went to Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. And people believed the majority report instead of the minority report. And those, that generation of Israelites who had seen God humble the greatest nation on the earth, Egypt at that time, part an ocean, refused to go into the promised land. Said, we're not going in there. We're going to have to fight to get that. And those guys are bigger than us. And they would not go in. And so God took that nation of Israelites, that generation, he took them back into the wilderness and led them around in a great big circle for 40 years in the desert. But for 40 years, God fed them every morning with manna, God's food, angel food. Every night, quails came into the camp, provided them with meat. For 40 years, the Israelite people, even though they were not people who would not trust God, God still took care of them. And for 40 years, their clothes never wore out. For 40 years, they could get water from a rock. For 40 years, God led them in this journey to get rid of a generation that would not do what he asked them to do. But for 40 years, they had a pillar of fire every night to provide them with light and comfort and heat. And every day that pillar would turn to smoke, and it would cover them and provide them with shade from the heat of the sun out in the wilderness. And every year, every day for 40 years, that pillar of cloud or smoke would move and provide them with exact directions on where they should go. And for 40 years, the presence of God was in their midst. And for 40 years, God took care of them. And for 40 years, God waited until a hard-headed generation died off, and then he brought them back around, and a new generation came to the very edge of the Jordan where their parents had stood 40 years before, and God gave them this book. And he says, I want you to remember. And basically, this is what God did. He said, now I'm going to ask you a question, but just before I do, I want you to look over your shoulder and look out in the wilderness. You see your parents' bones bleaching in the desert? When they came to this spot 40 years ago, they would not go in. What would you like to do? Would you be willing to cross and go in? This was a smart generation. They said, yes, sir. And God rolled the River of Jordan back, and they crossed on dry ground and went in and took the promised land with the hand and the help of God. Basically, in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 2, ladies and gentlemen, you have Israel's Memorial Day. Because God said, I want you to remember now. We as a nation, America, we need to do some remembering in this nation. There are some things we have buried and lost under secularism. There are some things we have buried and lost under materialism. There's some things that we have buried and lost under humanism that has removed, almost completely removed God from everything that he did to bless this nation. I do not doubt in my mind at all that Israel is a nation that's the people that are the people of God and is a nation that came into existence because of the blessing and the hand of God. I also do not deny or doubt for a moment that this nation exists because God has blessed this nation. There is no way anybody that is even a minor student of history, if they can get through the junk of the rewriting of history in our day today, there is no way this nation should exist except for the providential hand of an almighty God who spared us as we fought for our liberties and our freedoms. There's no way this country should be forgetting what America is forgetting. We're breaking our arms and dislocating our shoulders, patting ourselves on the back for what we are as a country when we ought to be bending our knees and crying out to a God, our God, the God of heaven, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who birthed this nation and allowed us the freedoms and the liberties that we enjoy. America needs to remember today. Now, tomorrow's Memorial Day, and many of us will have a day off. That's fine. Somewhere before you fire up the barbecue and somewhere before you run off to the day, you take some time in the morning, put out your flag, and then you think for a few, just a little bit of time, you think about what a blessed nation we have. Ask God to bless America. Not with cheap gas, not blessed what people call a struggling economy. You should have been where I was this week. You want to talk about a struggling economy? They have 12 cents a gas in Venezuela, 12 cents a gallon for gas in Venezuela. And yet they've got people begging on the streets. They've got people starving to death. They've got slums. They've got crime like you cannot believe. God doesn't need to bless America's economy. God needs to bless us with some mercy and grace till this nation wakes up and gets some sense and turns back to God and quit trying to get God's turn God's hand against us by what we do as a country. America needs a Memorial Day. We need one. We need to remember what we are as a nation. Churches need Memorial Days. We need to remember what God has been to us and what God has done for us. I'm thankful in our church. We've had these 25 weeks before our 25th anniversary, and on every Sunday night we recognize either members in our church or ministries in our church as we get ready and head closer toward our 25th anniversary, the first Sunday in the month of August of this year. But we want to remember. You got those doors right there, and there's a plaque on the backside of that wall right here behind us. Has the names of many of the people who've been so important to this church over these years. I want us to remember their names. I want us to remember those who gave themselves and dedicated themselves to help this church to become the church it is today. This church needs a Memorial Day. America's churches need a Memorial Day. Need a good old-fashioned slap in our spiritual faces to wake us up and realize it's not about programs. It's not about doodads and thingamajigs. It's not about trying to entertain ourselves. It's not about trying to provide a Hollywood atmosphere in our churches. It's back to getting the Spirit of God to come upon our preaching and the Word of God and the ministries of our churches to have God's hand upon us like it should be. I'm sorry that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry the church has become nothing more than a watered-down version of Las Vegas. That's a tragedy. This church is never going to sell out like that, not long as I'm the pastor here. And if I, by the way, let me say this too. Look at me. And if I ever take us in that direction, you fire my carcass and you get a preacher in here that means business. You understand that? Don't you sit there and let some knucklehead take this church down the tubes. Man, churches need a Memorial Day. But not only do countries and churches, Christians, we need a Memorial Day. God said, I want you to remember. And I want to take that thought this morning on this Memorial Day weekend, and I want us to have a time where we as Christians have our Memorial Day. Verse 2 of Deuteronomy 8 says, and thou shalt remember, and I want you to look at the wording, please, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. Do you see the statement there? Look at the verse again. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. All the way. Today, you and I need to have a Memorial Day in our life, and hopefully more than once a year, but regularly where we remember all the way that God has led us. It's one of the hymns that we sing, all the way my Savior leads me. It's a tremendous hymn and a great It's a reminder that you and I need to recall all the path God has brought us along and down and through these times in our lives. God wanted His children then, and God wants His children now to remember all the way He has led them. Let's remember, ladies and gentlemen, this path God has led us on, with the mountaintops and the valleys, with the good and the bad and the bitter and the sweet, and all the way that God has led us. We need to remember some of the mountaintops in our life. Do you remember today the mountaintop of your salvation? Do you remember it? Do you remember the day you settled it and you trusted Christ and you got saved? Remember that? Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Do you have a definite, clear remembrance of the day you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Listen, friend, that needs to be a Memorial Day we visit very often in our lives. There's something that happens to us. We preached on it not too long ago in Hebrews chapter 2. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We don't remember, or we don't keep before our memories the preciousness of the salvation and the day of our salvation. Now, you may be like me. I don't remember the exact date. I wish I did. I wish I could remember what exact day it was. I'm not even sure exactly how old I was when I got saved. I know I was somewhere around 8 or 9 or 10 years of age, so a long time ago, I just settled on 9. It could have been 8, it could have been 10, who knows? But I know this, I know what happened and I know when I trusted Christ and got saved. I remember that part. The exact date, not sure. Happened to have been in church Sunday morning, American Baptist Church, Antioch, California. I'd been sitting there for many weeks listening to Pastor Jacobson preaching the gospel. The 9-year-old boy in that, be frank and honest with you, cold, dead American Baptist Church. Very formal church. If you were never in an American Baptist Church, you don't know what I'm talking about. American Baptist Church, man, they came out, the choir would sing the sevenfold anthem and the Gloria Patri, and they would come out and sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. It's a great song, but how you sing it can really be sad. It was like, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I love that song. We sing it here in our church. We don't sing it like that. And they would come out, and the choir would come out and sing, and the pastor would stand to speak, never raise his voice. I don't remember the man ever saying anything funny. At least when I went to Southern Baptist churches later on, at least at the beginning of the service, the preacher would tell a joke, and he wasn't funny after that, but at least he would start the service with a joke. I mean, this man wasn't, it wasn't funny. He was boring. But the truth of the matter is, but I'm telling you something, he preached the gospel and licked his lips after every word. Dearly, brother, we are together today. Two. See, I was a kid, I used to sit there and count them. 42, 43. He actually, years later, died of a case of chapped lips, but I don't know how he did that. How you get your lips all wet like that, you can't hardly talk. Yeah. But he gave the gospel, and he gave it loud and clear, and he gave it straight. He didn't give it loud, but he gave it clear. I remember as a boy standing back there in that pew, holding on to that pew during invitation time. I dreaded the invitation. I feared the invitation because I knew I was lost, and I knew I had to be saved. And I thought you had to walk an aisle to trust Christ and get saved. And I thought, I'm not ever going to get to heaven because I can't go up there. There's no way I could do that. After several weeks of that conviction, 9-year-old boy in a choir robe wearing Gloria Patri, sevenfold anthem, amen, formal Baptist church. I finally one Sunday morning said, I can't take it anymore. I've got to get saved today. I would go home at night. I had fear of hell. So that's bad, Pastor Johnson. No, that's good this morning, ladies and gentlemen. That's very good because you don't know what salvation means till you know what you've been saved from. Finally, I couldn't take it anymore, and I walked that aisle and went forward and said, I want to be saved. I remember trusting Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, friend. memorial time for the Christian is remember all the way that God has led us. When you look back upon your life, what are the things that stand out as mountaintop experiences? Was it that time you found some money laying on the ground? Was it that time you got a raise at work? Was it what are the mountaintop events of your life as God led you all the way through life? And let me tell you something, even if you didn't know Him, He was still leading and God was still working. Pastor, I don't have that in my life. I don't recall ever trusting Christ and settling it, salvation in my life. Then friend, this needs to be your day today. Right now, today, in this service, before you leave this room, before you walk out of those doors, before you get in your car, before you go home, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You need to settle that thing now. It needs to be so definite and real in your life, such a real event. I'm not talking about how you tingle and how you feel and all the emotional side of things that people want to drag into that. I've seen people trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and they were cold as a fish. No emotion whatsoever. Seen people walk this out, accept Christ as their Savior. How can I help you? I want to be saved. Really? I mean, you do? Okay. Seen accept Christ and trust Him for their salvation, got saved. Seen other people just cry and weep and carry on and act like, oh, this is the greatest moment in their life. I don't care what you feel. I know this. There is a God in heaven who sent His Son Jesus, and He died for you and paid for your sins. And my dear friend, you must turn in repentance of faith and trust Jesus' payment for your salvation. Accept Him and trusting Him alone to save you. Ask Him to do so. Do you have that Memorial Day for you? Or do you look back and say, well, I'm sure it happened somewhere. You've got to be kidding me. That's like asking somebody, are you married? Well, yes. Do you know when? I don't know, but it happened somewhere. Could you imagine that? Sound like a man. I know I got married somewhere down the road. You got to be kidding me. No, you remember when you bought your first car, but you can't remember trusting Christ. You can remember all these other things in life that don't matter, but you can't remember a definite event where you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That's not right. There needs to be a memorial day of trusting Jesus Christ as Savior for salvation. Do you have that today? If you don't, then before this service is over this morning, you make today your memorial day. God said, I want you to remember this. I want you to remember all the way, all of it, those mountaintops that He led you, all that mountaintop of God's faithfulness to you. This week, and many as you know, of course, Brother and Mrs. Smith's daughter and her husband, the Lockwoods, are serving in Mexico. When did Daniel actually find out that they thought he had cancer? Wednesday of this week. His wife just gave birth to their 11th child. The doctors there in Mexico told him almost for certain he had cancer, and it was throughout his entire body, and that he would... Daniel was making preparations for dying. And they took him to the hospital there to do surgery and work on him. And he was mentally making preparation for the fact that he was not going to be there for his 11 children, for his wife, and for the ministry that God has given them there in Mexico. And I heard about it when we were down in Venezuela, and I asked the people in the church there to pray for him. The pastor there, his father-in-law, goes to their church, been a part of that church for 35 years. He said, Brother Johnson, he goes, this man walks with God. He knows God. I cornered him, and with an interpreter, I asked him to pray for Daniel. You could just see this man had an aura about him. He was a man who knew God. And we were praying there, and many of you knew about the situation, and you were praying here. And they did the surgery. They found out something wrong with his gallbladder, but as best as they can determine, there is no cancer. Now, there's still some prayer that needs to be made and some pathology that needs to come through. But it would appear that God has spared this young man, this young father of 11 children and a missionary there. Remember all the way God led you. All of it. God's faithfulness to you. Now, we have not always been faithful to Him, but He has always been faithful to us. The Bible tells us that when you believe not, yet He abideth faithful. God is faithful. Great is Thy faithfulness, O Lord our Father. God has always been faithful to us. We have a memorial weekend and a time to remember the greatness and the goodness of Almighty God. It helps us in those days when it seems like God is not hearing us too well. It helps us in those days when it seems like things are not going the way we want them to. It helps us in those days to remember as we look ahead of us and see some things that trouble us. It helps us today to do as those Israelites did when God said, look over your shoulder. Remember all the way that I've led you through this wilderness. And in these verses, he reminds them over and over again of the 40 years. 40 years of bread every morning, 40 years of meat every night, 40 years of water from a rock, 40 years of a pillar of smoke, 40 years of a pillar of fire, 40 years of Israel, of enemies conquered, 40 years of God leading them every way, 40 years of God feeding 6 million people in the desert, 40 years. He just wanted to remind them of that. God has led us all this way. Christian, we need a memorial week. We need a memorial time in our life to remember what our God has done for us, how our God has helped us. So, Pastor Johnson, I like to live in a country where gas was 12 cents a gallon. I'll take $4 in America in a minute. In a second. I'll pay my $4 a gallon. I will. Then rather pay 12 cents a gallon and live under a communist dictator. I'll take my $4 a gallon. The truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, God has been so good to this nation. You know what's sad is we can afford to pay $4 a gallon for gas. That's unbelievable. And it puts a knot in everybody's knickers, and then I know it does you too and does me too. It's costly, it's expensive, and it's painful, and it hurts, and the things in the economy are not necessarily going the way we would desire them to go in all means and manner. But hey, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. How many of you stood on street corners begging for food? How many of you are going home today to an empty shelf? How many of you don't have enough clothes to wear and don't have a place to sleep and a place to live? And many of us, we have more television sense than most people have shoes on this planet. The mountaintops of God's faithfulness. It's just something about when you go to other countries, and you know, stay away from the tourist areas. I don't know why Americans go all the way to the other side of the world to find stuff that's like America. That doesn't make any sense to me. You know, they got McDonald's down there. I was in Russia one time about to starve to death. I was so hungry. And there was a McDonald's there. I refused to eat at that McDonald's. I had a Coke, I think. And fries, thank you. And fries. Brother Evans was eating like a pig. It was unbelievable. He was eating everything he could get his hands on. Don't you ever question Brother Evans' patriotism. Let me tell you that right now. When 9/11 broke and everything happened, he went down trying to sign up in the Navy. They wouldn't take him because of his age, so he went down and signed up at Old Navy. But the truth is... It's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable to me, ladies and gentlemen, how that God's provision in our life now is all of a sudden we're hurting. And financially things are tough. And financially things are tighter. By American standards. By American standards. Okay, we flew in out of Atlanta to get in out of the country there. Coming into Atlanta there, they had two separate sections in immigration. One section for Americans and one section for visitors. Hey, that visitor line was 4 times longer than ours. Interesting. Flew in immigration in Caracas in Venezuela. Got with immigration at the airport. That was us standing in line. They weren't beating down the door to get in over there. Great is thy faithfulness. I'm sorry, friend. You let the media tell you how bad it is in America. The truth of the matter is it'll never be as bad as it is most places. This world lives a life in every day. And God has been very faithful to you and to me. We need to remember this now. Listen now. All the way that he has led us. Well, it hadn't all been mountaintops in my life, Pastor Johnson. How about there have been a few? And I guarantee you there have been more than we realize and many that we have forgotten. The mountaintop of God's faithfulness. The mountaintop of God's care for us in life. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, you as a child of God, you can call his name. And if you're his child, God will help you. And God will help you. and God will answer your prayer. Call unto me and I will answer thee, said Jeremiah, and I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. By the way, all the way they led us, there's been some valleys also. There have been valleys in our lives where we had troubled times and difficulties. Valleys of our lives of sorrow and loss. Valleys of our lives where we walked into the valley of sin, made bad choices. Bad choices. And yet we found a God who was willing to forgive us when we wanted to get right. Put us back in our path. I don't know any Christian that doesn't know the God of a second chance. I wonder if we remember the God of a second chance, though. He saved you. You got knuckleheaded and sideways. And when you got right, he forgave you and put you right back on the path again. Remember all the way he led you? I'm not forgetting the hot August night of 1975 when I got right with God. August has always been a very interesting month for me. It's the 25th anniversary of our church, but it was in August of 1975 when I got right with God after being out of the will of God for about 12 years. Right there in Sacramento, California, off Alta Arden Avenue in a little road called Markston, there is a little house still there. That house, that night, I got right with God after 12 years of being out of the will of God. Now, after 12 years of being out of the will of God, I wept my way back to God and got right with the Lord. And God restored me and put me back on my feet again. And God led me that way, too. He leads us that way, you know. It's a memorial day. It's a memorial weekend. And we'll fire up the barbecues and burn the beast. Don't ribs sound good? Maybe just a hamburger, just a homemade hamburger. About 3/4 pound of meat per patty. Little squirrely hamburger places you go where you have to turn a pickle over to find the meat. No. I mean a hamburger. Homemade hamburger. Got so much meat in there, still got the hooves on it. I mean a hamburger. We went in a place down there and it serves Argentinian beef. Brought out a steak. It looked like a chunk of hippo. I mean, that was huge. It was good too, by the way. Before we fire up that barbecue and start burning that beast tomorrow. Or for some of you, you know, cook the beans or whatever it is you're going to have. I'm eating meat. I want to remember all the way God has led me. How faithful he has been. How blessed am I in my life. Do you count your blessings very often? Say, don't have many to count. You must have a different God than I do. Nope. God said, I want you to remember. I want you to remember all the way that I have led you. All of it. The good and the bad, the high and the low, the bitter and the sweet. The times of sorrow and loss, the times of provision and blessing. He said, you remember them all now, Israelites, because you're about to enter the promised land and your direction will never be right if you don't remember where you came from. America needs to remember where we are. It's because of where we have come from as a nation. And we're not going to get where we're supposed to be till we remember where we have been. Churches need to remember where they came from. We're a people. Baptist people are a people who have a history of blood. People that paid for their with their lives for their faith. That's where we come from. And Christian, God has led you all the way and provided for you and done exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Let's make sure this Memorial Weekend is a time where we remember all the way that God has led us. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please.